Yes, it is. Thank you, Jesus. This is a faith building prayer. And I'm going to read it from a book, and it says this. Father, in the name of, I'm going to pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that everything in this prayer would be a blessing to you, Lord, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. My Father God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, I have received eternal life. Your nature, it has made me one with you. It has made me what you have declared that I am in Christ. As the branch is to the vine, I am yours and you are mine. My heart sings this song of utter oneness with you. My Father, of my utter oneness with you, my Lord. Your nature is love, so my nature is love. Out from my inner being flows love to all mankind. I am like you, a lover. Through me, this love stream flows unhindered. You are the fountain within me, a fountain of perfect health and vibrant life. This life stream fills me with health and joy. My body is your home, one of the holy of holies, where you are not hidden but made visible. It is the home of health, the home of love. You have made him, my risen Lord, my wisdom. At last, I know how to use revelation knowledge. I know how to use sense knowledge. My union with you makes me a master of circumstance, for I have learned how to let you have your freedom in me. Let you put your very self in me. And this has freed me from the old realm of fear and doubt. Jesus has given me the power of attorney, a legal right to use his name so that I can act for him, take his place, do the work that he did, and carry on the works he started. Your ability has become my ability. Your grace has taken me over. I am the slave of your love. It has overmastered me, and I have become a long slave of your Son. You are living in me and through me. Your life and your love, nature, dominate me. You are the strength of my life. This life is like a fountain within me. I remember what the Master said in John chapter 7 and verse 38, that out from my inner life shall gush torrents of living water. And that's been my dream, that I might be a little fountain through which you can pour your very life daily through me to bless this arid desert world. I have come to know the reality of the verse, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4 and 4. You mighty lover God, I give you your place in me. You mighty Father God, do your creative work through me. Be unhindered in my life. What grace you have unveiled to let me use your living word. In my lips, your words become healing words, faith-giving words, and life-giving words. Arise, my Father, and be big in me. How many times my heart has cried that you might be a God-sized God in me, so that you could pour your very self through me in words and actions, that every part of my being would be under your direction. I do not ask for healing, for by his stripes I am healed. I don't ask for strength, because he is the strength of my life. And I don't ask to be filled, for he is my fullness. And I do not ask for righteousness, because I am his righteousness in Christ. I don't ask for power, as he is in me, and all power is in me now. I am planning on his ability in me, on his love nature governing me, and on his wisdom as a lamp to guide me into all truth. I am letting you loose in me. I am letting you use my ability, speak through my lips, and heal through my hands. I am filled with your fullness. Your wisdom and love are mine. Love's gentleness and greatness are all mine. Your own tender steadfastness has become a part of me. I am resting in your rest. Your very peace holds me quiet. I am yours and you are mine. Life is big with you in it. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would be this big in all of us, Father God. And I thank you for it, Father. And Lord, place it in our hearts to repent and be full of your love and your faith and your grace and your mercy, Father. And I thank you for doing that for all of us. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, that from this point on, things are changing in the spiritual realm because the devil knows he's in trouble. And we praise you, Father, for him. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! My. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, before I ask for any prayer requests, I also want to go through these affirmations that I sent everybody. And I know everybody checked their email before they came on tonight and got that. I know they did. But it's okay if you didn't. I've got them right here. And this is also out of that book by E.W. Kenyon. If you have a genuine hunger to be used by the Lord in effective ministry, make these dynamic affirmations yours, speak them with confidence, and be enormously blessed. Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, sorry, an admin thing. Dave, you may want to check your signal messages. I've sent you a message about, it's to do with what's happening right here now.
Okay. Who is that orange man?
Oh, he's gone now. Oh, no, he's covered himself up. No, sorry, Rian.
Oh, it wasn't Rian. Okay, here's number one. Number one affirmation. And I'm going to say it slow if y'all want to recite it in your mind or with your lips, either way. As I use the name of Jesus according to the word in the power of the Spirit, I have the secret that the apostles used to shake the world. Jesus said, you do the asking and I will do the doing. See John 14 and 14. If I don't pray or command in his name, I don't give him the opportunity to manifest his power. His name on my lip is the same as if Jesus were present and operating. Number two, if I shrink back, God has no pleasure in me. See Hebrews 10 and 38. This truth has spurred me on through many rough places. God can act through me. God has put his power in my hands and says, use my name, my word, and my power according to my will. Number three, I may think that the need is too great, that the sickness is unconquerable, and that my faith is too small. And all this may be true, but I have confidence in the name of Jesus, not in my own faith, in that great name. I command the sickness to go. I say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Satan dares not face a warrior who is clothed in Christ's righteousness and who knows the power of that mighty name. God's integrity, his omnipotence, and Christ's unlimited power back up my command and are all at my disposal. I use the name of Jesus. That's number four. I use the name of Jesus though I may tremble when I do it. It is not that I am great, but that his name is great. I don't need to feel its power. I know it. Everything must bow to the all-conquering name of Jesus. What the rod was in the hands of Moses, Christ's name is in my mouth. It was not Moses who was great, but the power of God in the rod that was great. Number five, the only question is, do I understand what God means in giving me the use of his name? To use Jesus' name does not require any unusual faith because his name belongs to me. He has put absolutely no limitations upon the use of it. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Number six, I'll hurl the matchless name of Jesus against the hosts of hell, and they fly in confusion. I walk among men as a man of God. The enemy may be stubborn and resist me, but my will is set. I'm going to win. And I literally charge the enemy in that all-conquering name. I refuse to give up my confession that the name of Jesus is superior to all other names or things. Philippians 2:9-10 says, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. In this great name, I command the mountain to go. It will go. It must go. Number seven, God has given me the coin of the unseen kingdom. I use his name with a fearless abandonment that is absolutely thrilling. I live and walk in the realm of the supernatural. That name has lost none of the power of the man who bore it. The Father conferred upon him the highest name in the universe. As I cast out devils in his name, I am amazed at the strange reverence that comes over me as I exercise by a simple command this marvelous power, witnessing many startling results. I cannot conceive how successful work can be done today, or how I could be in a place of continual victory over the spirits of darkness without the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. Number nine, the more quickly I recognize that the very air about us is filled with hostile forces who are attempting to destroy our fellowship with the Father and to deprive us of our usefulness in the service of the Master, the better it will be for me. All power is in the name of the risen Christ Jesus, who is seated at the Father's right hand in the heavens. Number 10, I cannot use the name of Jesus effectively while out of fellowship with God. It is vitally important that I stay in fullest fellowship at every moment. If I lose my spiritual initiative, I lose something that will drive me through the hard places. That's the name of Jesus. Number 11, I cannot afford to take a negative attitude toward the word. If I do, my holy fearlessness will be lost, and my heart will not say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. And when my spiritual initiative is low, I will not be able to say, greater is he that is in me than the forces that surround me. See 1 John 4:4. If my heart loses its boldness and fearlessness in acting on the word, I'll be in danger. Number 12, last one. I will take my permanent place and abide where I may enjoy the fullness of his mighty power. My confession must absolutely agree with the word. When I have prayed or commanded in Jesus' name, I hold fast to my confession. It is easy to destroy the effect of prayer by a negative confession. and I will continue to confess that when I speak the name of Jesus, it is the same as if Jesus were speaking. And then he quotes Acts 3 and 6, such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Glory to God, glory to God. All right, devil, anybody got a prayer request? Any comments first? Has anybody got any comments on what we've just said or spoke? I wanted to get everybody pumped up before we went to praying because I know what's going to happen. That enemy is on the run right now. He said, oh my goodness, this bunch here has got a bunch of faith and they're declaring it. Lord of God, we better get our stuff and get out of here. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I'll start off. The Lord gave me something this morning. He gave me a dream this morning, which I don't get a lot of dreams. Of course, I don't sleep a lot either. But the thing that he gave me a line as a result of that that dream. And I had to, maybe I'm speaking a little bit too soon because I didn't get a chance to write it all down, but he was basically showing me that our circumstances that we may be in, we may be feeling, feeling opposed at the very least in just about everything. And I have to say that the messages that David has been preaching and Michael's been preaching these last couple weeks, it is hitting right the nail right on the head. It's just, we are in the midst of, you know, we're in the midst of a war, in the midst of constant attack. And I just got the picture this morning that our circumstances in our life, though they seem insurmountable at times, or they seem like the solution is taking so long, he basically says that in the hands of a lesser God, that would be a concern. But all these hindrances or oppositions or battles, struggles, all of these things, God could eliminate them with a word. I mean, with a word in one split second, they would be gone. But the Lord has a purpose in them. The only reason that I'm still struggling over certain things is I haven't made it through. And I haven't learned that lesson. I think it's a lesson that Michael's speaking tonight, is taking that word and walking in it, applying it, and speaking forth that word and letting that word in Jesus' name do the work within us. And the Lord just kind of reinforced that whole thing this morning. And so I'll bring up some prayer requests a little bit later, but I just wanted to say that I think the Lord has us all tracking on this same vein. At least I have seen it in what's happening with me for the last few weeks. So anyway, I'll give up the floor.
Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Greg, go ahead, brother.
Well, just in that vein that Pat mentioned about, and I think this is relevant. at least to what you just said, Pat. A dream I had recently, which I won't go into the dream, but it was really, really good. It was, but I won't go into the dream. But one aspect of the dream had a museum-type collector person looking at some memorabilia, I suppose, to do with my brother's military service. And one thing he drew out, which he drew special attention to, was a clock. Now, this clock was covered by a very thin piece of ply. And I was, and then the dream switched to, well, no, it didn't switch. You know, a thing occurred in the dream that, anyway, was an anticipated thing. But I was pondering this clock, and this particular museum collector, I believe, is a representation of the Holy Spirit, mentioned that we were privileged to, you know, have this, you know, clock thing, even though we couldn't see the time. And, you know, I couldn't see the time of what happened, but I was pondering it with the Lord. And what I kind of got from it is that the time, you know, is important. The timing is important of what the Lord does. And while it may not be revealed to us, he knows what he's doing. That said, I also was pondering a bit further. He is not in time. He's outside of time. So he can fold it and do what he wants with it as well. Anyway, it was just that aspect I thought was interesting. Two verses that came to mind when I was pondering it was one in Psalms, and I can look up the references, but where it says, "My time alone is in your hands." And the other is in Habakkuk chapter 2, where the prophet there mentions this is too important for me to fudge. Give me a second. Habakkuk, being a really big book, is going to be easy to find. I'm probably going to, oh, no, it's just after 9, okay. Sorry, I'm reading from the Amplified, but you'll get this. Then the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision and engrave it plainly on tablets, so that the one who reads it will run." And as I understand, it can be also taken to be that, you know, someone running can read it as they go past. This is the bit. "For their vision is yet for an appointed time. It hurries towards the goal. It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait for it, because it will certainly come, but will not delay." Over.
Okay. What else? Miss Pat?
Michael, just to follow up, mm-hmm. I was, the Lord gave me that, with that picture, he gave me that section of the scripture where he's talking about the devil in Revelation, where he said he laid hold on the dragon and that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no further, etc., etc. Later on in the chapter, he actually cast the devil and his angels in the lake of fire. But that was no great act. I think it was a dream that Claire maybe shared with us, or David shared, that received from Claire or whatever. Or maybe it was Claire, I don't know, but it was Garrett Crawford, I think, that the Lord took him to hell and opened the doors and showed him Satan, and he was so fearful. Yeah, I wasn't fearful, but he was had imaginations going through his mind what he was going to see, that big wild deer. He opened the door and saw a clown, and so it just, again, it just paints a picture that the Lord is using all these the devil and his angels and very, you know, the demons and everything to train and to lift us up and to bring us into that place of expressing the life of Christ in us, allowing Jesus to live through us. And I think because we haven't broken through yet, because it has not been manifested yet in its unlimited form, the Lord is still using it. However, I feel like we are at the point where it's time to break out. And so anyway, I'm getting excited because of the things that are happening. And not only does the devil see that time is short, but I think God's people, there's stirring out there in the Christian horizon that's starting to stir, and people are starting to see past the facade. And I've had conversations with people even in the construction industry, and there's more Christians out there in the world than you think about, that you think there are. There's people that are hidden that are standing beside the side, you know, on the sidelines and watching and becoming aware. And I think the time is coming when God's going to spring that trap. But anyway, that's all I can say.
Okay. Go ahead, Ray. Or June.
I believe the thought, I don't question that the Lord's timing is always perfect. And even though it might not seem that way when we're going through things. And as far as those who are praying for family or other loved ones to come into the knowledge of the Lord, to be saved, I expect many of them are actually going to be used mightily by the Lord during the times we'll be entering, I guess, shortly enough. I believe that, as I said, many will be used in a very strong way that wouldn't be able to be used in the way the Lord would like if they didn't go have more trials to go through or experience more things that didn't have them come to the understanding of the Lord. And then all of a sudden it clicks big time and it's so deep in their spirit that nothing would shake it.
Amen. Yep. I tell you something, Ray and June, you remember the Salvation Army, when it got started, let me tell you what they would do. They would go to a house of ill repute, if you know what I'm saying, and stand outside. And as the girls came out, they would talk to them. And if they were tired of what they were doing, they would come to Jesus. They would send them back to the Salvation Army headquarters, and they would disciple them for at least 2 weeks. They would disciple them to the point to where they didn't want to sin anymore. They made it known to them that they were walking a holy walk. I submit to you that this time coming, the bride is going to do the same thing. And that the people, and it may not take 2 weeks now, you know, because we're going to have the anointing of God that's going to be powerful. And they are going to do exactly what you're talking about. They're going to get saved, discipled for a little, and go out and do it again. And it's going to be an awesome time. That's what I believe. they wouldn't let those girls go back out there unless they had a real solid foundation of the Word of God. Yep. Amen. Yeah, David, go ahead. So that should encourage everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, David.
I actually have a pretty cool testimony that happened. So the other day, I was sitting in my boat because we were about to go fishing, and I was rigging up some rods. And I was holding a hook in one hand, and I reached down to grab something, and I hit the line. And the hook slipped and went way in my finger. And I kind of look at it, and I'm like, well, that's the deepest the hook ever went. and I'm like, man, I struggled getting it out until I got in a perfect position to slide back out because of the barb. But later it hit me. I was like, hold up. Something's weird about this time. I was like, I don't feel any pain. God did not let me feel any of that pain. And it was just so awesome because usually a hook stabs me just a little. And I'm like, ooh, I was like, man, that hook went in. But this time the hook went almost all the way in and I did not feel anything. And it was so cool.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. In the name. Lord God. That's a great fishing story. Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. There you go, dude. Yeah, that is. How many fish did you catch? And don't tell no fib now.
Caught three fish, I think.
Okay.
It was cold, windy day, and Abigail started teething, so we had to cut it short and go home.
Okay. Awesome.
But it was awesome because right after that happened, it reminded me of the story of Paul. When the snake bit him, he just shook it off.
Yep. Amen. There you go. That's what Greg said. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Samuel, Tiana. All right. All right. What about a prayer request? Now we'll get into the prayers because we got the power now. Glory to God. Who's got a prayer request? Come on, y'all. There's people chomping at the bit here. Go ahead, Missy.
I'd like to pray for Brooke. I just spoke to her. Anyway, while we were there visiting over the weekend, the subject came up of the COVID jabs and everything and the effects of it, and that Merle's niece found out she has lung cancer and that she's had four jabs and the doctors can't figure out why she would have lung cancer. And we're talking about her aunt having found out she has leukemia. And we were just talking about the bad effects, you know, of it and everything. And, you know, about that it causes cancer and all these things and miscarriages and stuff. And with her being pregnant, you know, I said to her, I said, you know, don't, you know, sorry if, I'm sorry if you felt, if that made you fearful when we were talking about those things, but, you know, you're fine and the baby's fine. And so anyway, I just want to pray for her and just to make sure there's no fear on her about that and all. Father, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for Brooke being healthy and the baby being healthy and everything just going perfectly fine, having a healthy pregnancy and healthy baby. And I just command any fear that might be on her to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, put it in her heart, Lord, to pray for those who she knows has gotten the jab, Lord, and help her to really understand, help her to get more, come across more information or whatever about how bad this really is. And Lord, she didn't take it for herself. She took it, she took two of them, Lord, for her students and actually for the parents to feel comfortable with her being around them and all. And it wasn't for herself, Lord. And I consider that to be selfless, maybe in ignorance to a degree. So Lord, I just ask you to thank you for blessing her and Kurt both for her healthy baby and Brooke being healthy, and just command all fear to go from her, and I forbid fear to come on her at all, Lord, that you put the faith and confidence in her to believe, Lord, that you're protecting her and the baby in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. It is done in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, David.
I got a prayer request. So there's just been a lot of things going on at work where they're just basically taking away my hours because they don't want to do certain trucks, even though they force us to diag them and whatnot. And we've been kind of praying about it, and there's a job opportunity that came up to move back to Fidelia, and I mean, we were considering going there. I mean, we've been asking God about it, and it would give us a pretty good financial break, because with them taking my hours here and rent being so high, with them raising the rent and cutting my hours, it's been a little tough. And I'm asking for prayers so the move can be smooth. Or if that's not something we should do, for God to show us exactly. And but if the Lord wills us to go there, let the financials be covered good, and God give us a rental. That way we don't have to go through parents trying to get us to live with them, because that would be kind of hard in my family. We lived with them before and it was not easy. I mean, the biggest thing is for God's will to be done. I mean, he knows best. He knows mostly what we need. Even though sometimes we don't ask him, but he still comes through with grace and shows us. Amen. So pray for the situation, man. I'm just asking the body for help at this point.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I'd like to pray. Father, you heard David, and I believe that they should live on their own and not have to live with parents or in-laws, and it says, leave your mother and father, and be joined to your wife. And so, Father, we just ask, Lord, that if whether this be what you want them to do or not, Lord, that you open the doors or you close the doors. But in opening the doors, we pray, Lord, that you work all out all the finances perfectly, and that they find a place, Lord, to live with good rent. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for just guiding them and directing them every step of the way through opening or closing the doors, Lord. And Lord, we know that you will provide for them. And if this isn't the job, we ask you, Lord, to find David another job, or somehow supernaturally beyond what we could ask or think, Lord, that you provide for them. And We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Praise the Lord. I agree with everything Missy said, and I was thinking about praying some of the things she did, but I just thank you, Father, that you've given David and Aaliyah so many trials of their faith, where they are and how you got them there, and working out miraculously so many awesome things for them through, you know, work and home and people and circumstances. And I just command the spirits of confusion and witchcraft, doubt, uncertainty, and anything that's trying to oppress them that would be keeping them from hearing you clearly. I command that all to be broken off of them in the name of Jesus. And Father, you know exactly where you want them to live and work. And if he's supposed to stay at this job where he's at, where he's had a lot of favor there and things have been, just seems like they've been up and down there, Father. And we pray blessings on his boss, the owner, and that he would agree to the, uphold his agreement with David that he's made with him about how he's being paid. If they're having financial trouble, Lord, and not wanting to do the work on these particular vehicles, and Father, I pray that you would straighten that out for them. I ask you, Lord, to give grace and faith to David and Alina to come into agreement with just humbling themselves to you again on this and asking where you want them to be, and to give them clear direction. So they don't have to guess or be uncertain about it. They know with all certainty what your plans for them and when, Lord. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for making your will known unto them and giving them peace so they can hear clearly everything that you are showing them right now, Lord. We already know it's a good report. We already know that you know where they're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Greg, go ahead.
Oh, I've taken the floor too many times already tonight, but yes, I wanted to pray as well, if I may. Lord, I also hear the request of David, and Lord, just speaking as a man, we are called to, as mentioned already, to, well, and Lord Jesus, you went to prepare a place for us so that where your bride could be, there, you know, where you were, there your bride could be also. And Lord, I just want to, it's a hard thing for us to do on our own, as particularly as men. It's a hard thing and to provide. So Lord, I want to ask you to move in this area as well, that you would give David and his family provision. And Lord, I know you often do that through employment, and that's fine for all their needs. But Lord, more than that, they are a young family. That Lord, you would also give them a place of permanence where they can be a family and have a home. Lord, I know you own the wealth in every mine, the cattle on every hill. The earth is yours. The gold and silver are yours. Anyway, Lord, I just want to cast this upon you. Thank you. Thank you that you hear our prayers, that you answer them. You give us everything that we agree about. You give us everything that we ask in your name. Bless you. Amen. That'll do.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Go ahead, Ray or June.
I join in the prayers that have been spoken for David and his family. And David, have peace. The Lord has a place for you, your wife, and your children. To the praise of Yahweh, we thank you, Lord, how you provide for your children, and you give us what you desire to give us. And Lord, I just I'm just excited about the fact that David and his family are going to be where you want them to be. And it is a blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Okay. I'm going to pray too. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of Satan over the owner, and I declare and decree him into the kingdom. Father, I ask that you grant repentance to him and bring him in. And Lord, I thank you for pushing love all in him, because when the place is blessed, they'll make money. And Lord, I thank you for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, for as he comes into the kingdom, he'll understand that lying and cheating and all that stuff is out the door, that he would treat customers right, and the customers would treat him right. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a blessed business for David and all his brothers and sisters in the shop there. And I thank you for it, Father, that this is going to be a thriving business. He's going to turn it around because Jesus is involved. And we thank you, Lord, for placing it in David's heart and the other Christians in there to be praying for the owner. And we praise you, Father, for it, because I know that's going to be an awesome testimony that he's going to have in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of those boat turners. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. We praise you for it, Father. Y'all believe that? I believe it. Glory to God. Whatever prayer that was prayed for David and Elena has been answered tonight. We thank you for it, Father, for this open heaven that you have given us in Jesus' name. Now, David, look for it because it's coming, brother. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
I know it's him again. Tracy put a request in the chat for her little boy, Kane. I'm not sure if you can speak, Tracy, but if you can't, then I will. If you can, then unmute and speak for yourself.
Okay. Kane finals week this week. Is this college finals?
I would guess it's probably
high school. I think so. Well, it don't make no never mind. We'll just pray. Lord, we lift up Cain to you. We thank you, Father, that you're going to give him the wisdom to ace these finals. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that when he reads and studies whatever he has to study and read, that he will retain all that he does. And we thank you, Father, that Cain is going to make good on his test finals this week in Jesus' name, because he's going to do what's necessary to do it. But Lord, you're going to do what's necessary supernaturally to make it happen. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If he works hard, he's going to get it. I guarantee you, because God's going to make sure he does. Go ahead, David.
I just thought I'd ask for an agreement and prayer too. My daughter-in-law had an interview today with the Historical Society of Michigan, and they just kind of like have a magazine, whatever kind of thing. They go out and they keep track of things going on in Michigan, and they write about it. They've been doing it since 1828. So they kind of have a nice little thing going on, but it's all historical stuff. And she's really in the history. She likes that kind of thing. And one part of her degree was a writing degree. And so I think I told you things didn't work out with her at the Catholic Church, because she was the organist for a while, and things went just south there. And so she got a little fresh start here, and this was her first interview was today. I'm just going to ask that the Lord gave her favor for the interview, and that, you know, it would really be, it'd make her happy to get something that would be something other than music, but it's still something that she has a passion for. So, Father, thank you for being there for Kayla today when she had her interview. Now we just ask that you give her favor with the interviewer, and maybe if she has a second interview, that would be great. Have a follow-up just to give her a job that she really loves and enjoys. She enjoys history. She enjoys Michigan history. So thank you, Father, for listening to that prayer and giving us favor in that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to get that job in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Unless there's a better one after. Lord, you know. Amen. Go, Missy.
That reminded me of Alex. I think I mentioned this to y'all. Alex went through a long interview process for a job down in Plano, Texas with Pepsi. And he texted Merle yesterday and told him he didn't get the job. So, you know, I was torn about that. I didn't care too much for the fact that it was this big deep state kind of company. But anyway, and that it was so far. But Lord, I just praise you and thank you that you're working out your perfect will for Alex and the job that you would have him to have. And Lord, I just ask you, and I believe you're doing this, and I thank you that you are using this to cause Alex to turn to you and pray and ask you for a job, you know, that would be suited for him and that he could learn more and do more. And I thank you, Lord, for getting him that perfect job that you want him to have, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for keeping him a little bit closer to home. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I'll pray for Ken, too. Lord, bless Ken so he gets through his finals. I think he's in high school. I think he's high schooler. So he doesn't have any problems. He's get through these all these tests that he has to do. He doesn't have to write any answers on the back of his hand or anything, you know. Has it all up in his head. And Lord, give him, make him settle down and feel relaxed when he gets in there and confident. And Lord, you just give him a clear mind and clear thoughts when he's going through this testing. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we think that Cain's going to pass that finals in the top 10 of his class, in Jesus' name. Maybe the top 5. Maybe the top 3. Maybe the number 1. There you go, Missy. Yeah, why not just go for the sky? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I bless that little boy, David, in the name of Jesus. He's such a boy. Hey, boy. Hey, David. Hey, but yeah, look at that smile, boy. Glory to God. My. Got a smile big as Texas. Glory to God. Awesome. No swelled head, though. Amen. Oh, you're talking about Cain. But... Okay. All right. Go ahead, Ray or Jared.
Yeah, right before we came on this evening, there was a news report in Uvalde, Texas, of an elementary school shooting. And it's been on my heart ever since. And we need to come against the evil one. He's somehow getting a hold of these young people with guns. And anyway, this fellow came into an elementary school and killed 18 children and two adults. Gracious. And it happened. The news report was on at about 10 minutes to the hour. About an hour ago is when I saw it. And with our prayers today, coming against evil and the evil one, this is what's happening. Somehow, these youngsters, I call them youngsters, are being attacked and being used inappropriately for this these murders. And I know it's coming against us as a country, but at the same time, we have to call it what it is, and it's evil, and we have to cast it out, and it's hurtful, and our prayers go out to the city. It's outside of San Antonio, Uvalde, Texas, and it's a horrific, catastrophic event there. And anyway, I'm lost for words, just having to pray for them, but coming against the evil that has been perpetrated against this school. We ask for the Lord.
You say it was at Uvalde?
Yeah, Uvalde.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They killed how many kids?
18 children and 2 adults. Okay. And the individual is dead as well. We don't know any details. I didn't hear anything because of the minimal amount of time we had, but they're not saying too much right now because they're trying to get a hold of all the families involved at the moment.
Yeah.
So our hearts and prayers go out to them and against the faction that's infiltrating young adults, that's causing them to go into schools and do this kind of thing.
Amen. And
just ask for Jesus's protection, and he alone can help in this situation. Amen. Yeah.
That sounds like a deep state MK Ultra job. That's they're noted for that kind of horrendous evil work that they do. They don't mind killing folks, don't mind killing kids. But Lord, we just ask and we pray that you drain the swamp all the way. And Lord, I ask that you open up every avenue to get the people at the top that are doing this. And we thank you for doing that. Father, just drain the swamp to keep this from happening. Father, we thank you for doing that. Lord, we ask and we pray for your peace and your mercy in this town, that this would be the start of a revival, that you would be, they would cry out to you, Lord, and we thank you for it, Father, that you would put an anointing on a true gospel preacher down there to preach the word of God in love. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, look, if I can just read a scripture, I concur entirely this. You know, there's been a number of these just recently in the US. And, the swamp be drained. But can I just read this scripture? I just want to read it as a prayer.
Sure.
From Ezekiel 13. or as a declaration. I'll start at 19, verse 19. You have refrained me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and giving life to those who should not live because of your lies to my people who pay attention to lies. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against your magic bands by which you hunt lives as birds, and I will tear them from your arms, and I will let the lives you hunt go free, even those lives whom you hunt as birds. I will tear off your veils and rescue my people from your hands, and they will no longer be in your grip to be hunted and trapped. Then you will know without doubt that I am the Lord. And it goes on, but that'll do. Lord, I direct that to everyone in the chain who is causing these generally young men, I think, to be triggered and go and do these things. It is bigger than just someone who's just gone on a incomprehensible twist. It's bigger than that. I know it. We know it, Lord. And we declare your word over the earth.
God. Father, we grieve with the parents of these children as well. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit go throughout all of those families, that they would cry out to you, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Father, we just come together. We, in the name of Jesus, we command those that are motivating this, those spirits that are motivating this at the highest level, those that are use this. They don't care how many lives that they destroy. Their goal is one thing, and that's to take control and eliminate the freedom, the independent, the rights that you have given to mankind. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are. We confess your word. We confess the fact that those spirits, the wickedness, the evil that is there is bound in the name of Jesus Christ, and we command it to be revealed to the American people, all of the American people, that are perpetrating these deeds, that are triggering, as Greg says, triggering these young men and young people to commit these atrocities. Lord, that you would reveal the cause, those that are causing this to happen for their own particular purpose, whether it be power or control or whatever it is. We stand against it in the name of Jesus Christ and declare it to cease right now in Jesus' name. To Lord, we trust you that you are able to take the wrath of man and accomplish what you desire through the process, but restrain that which goes too far. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are in control. You are the one that reigns in the affairs of men. And we thank you for it, Lord. We ask you to give us wisdom in prayer of these things, not only these that are coming upon us, but many other things that are that the deep state and the wickedness, the faction of the religious community, the faction in our government that are trying to accomplish and put forth in the world today, all in the name of trying to take control of people. Take control of society, take control of the world. Lord, we thank you that you reign, and that you set up the nations and knock them down. They are nothing but a drop in the bucket to you, Lord, and we thank you for it. We thank you that you're using all of these things to bring forth the desire and the crying out for you to come, Lord Jesus, to come and bring forth your life within us and let it explode in revival across this world. And we thank you for it, Lord. We set our eyes upon the things above and not on the things of this earth. We ask you, Lord, just to fill us with your Holy Spirit and fill us with your wisdom. Give us strength to proclaim your word, proclaim your salvation, your gospel, and to bring forth the fruit that you've created us to bring forth. And we thank you for it, Lord. We ask you for mercy and grace in these families' lives that have that have suffered in these situations, Lord. And we ask that your grace will turn their hearts into salvation. And we thank you for it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, anyone else? Yes, Missy, go ahead.
Father, I praise you and thank you for being the Almighty God, that nothing is too hard for you. And I ask in Jesus' name that you send forth your angels and you write out this MK Ultra program. I believe that's run by the CIA, and you shut it down and bring those to justice that run it. And I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for doing that. And the people that are involved in it, Lord, that or any of your elect that are victims, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you bring them out of it and restore them to their right mind. And grant them repentance unto salvation, Lord, if they do not know you yet, Lord, which most likely they don't. But restore them to the right mind in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I'll pray then. Father, what I'm thinking I might have read, whether it's true or not, this gentleman might have had his high school or had graduated from the same area, was maybe listening to voices from the transgender community. Lord, we know that there's an evil spirit involved in this, and the evil is coming from all this liberal agenda to pollute the minds of the youth and to pollute the minds of those that listen to them, to fill them with hate and to fill them with violence and anger, and just to strike out anything they think is contrary to this perverted life they're trying to push on everyone. And they're trying to say everybody's evil that's not with them on their ideas and their ideologies. Lord, this is nothing but pure evil from Satan. We see that. We see this is more division and hate and anger being thrown at anybody that's not like that. And it's all about taking down and challenging and destroying everything that's good. They're calling, then the media will call this as being good for evil or evil for good, whatever they're going to label it. But they're going to point it back at the middle class and everybody that's not like them. And they're going to find a way to demonize the good people and glorify the evil. Lord, we come against this spirit. We come against Satan. We bind you now and we cast you off our youth. We want this message that they got to be exposed for what it is: hate, anger, and violence. And unexcusable actions that cannot be brought to any terms of reality of what is right and wrong. This is just absolute wrong. And for them to promote this and to come out and be violent against the world and against anybody that's not like them, that has to be exposed as being evil and wrong. And it's from Satan. Lord, let us get that voice out, to that clear voice, that this is nothing but Satan doing these things, and he's polluting the minds of the youth and the minds of those that hear this hate and violence all the time from the left. Lord, at the same time, we ask that you send out people of faith in that area, to reach out to these families and to comfort them for their loss, to give them hope in your name. Give them hope amongst this tragedy, amongst the loss of their children and the teacher. Lord, we ask that you fill them up and give them your spirit, and you give them a spirit of comfort right now in these terrible times for these people to go through this. And you stop the evil media from portraying anything false on this whole thing, and quit allowing them to make this evil into good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for stopping this nonsense. Thank you, Lord. This evil stuff. Pray to God. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Julie. Started to call you Missy.
Well, we're a lot alike. I can see that.
Okay.
We're sisters.
That's right. I'd like prayer requests, or I'd like to make a request for prayer. I can't. Thank you, Lord. Help me. I'm just getting hit with stuff here physically, and like tiredness and sleepiness and fatigue, and getting hit with some aches and pains in my body and some other things. And I'd like you all to pray for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ready? Y'all get ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God. The Lord, we lift up Julie to you right now in the name of Jesus. And those forces of darkness that are trying to put these spirits of infirmity on her, I break your power right now in Jesus' name and command you in the name of Jesus to leave her now. And take all your symptoms with you. I command that spirit of infirmity to go from her in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you. She is delivered from this, from all of it, in Jesus' name, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. We pray that in the name of Jesus, she is healed, delivered, and set free. And we praise you, Father, that your Holy Spirit now is purifying her blood in her body right now and cleansing everything in it that's that has a spirit or has had a spirit in it, because the spirits are gone. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Father, for a complete, restored body, like new, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. It is done by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We praise you, Father, for the victory for Julie in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Does everybody believe that? Glory to God is so. Thank you, Jesus. My, my, my. Yes, it is. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I didn't give it a thought. I had a headache and I came home from work early this week, today, after about 4 hours. But I realized that after Julie saying that, I think we're getting attacked with witchcraft, of course. So in the name of Jesus, and I was casting it down, but still, I wasn't until 6 o'clock, my headache was gone. So in the name of Jesus, we cast down all these word curses and witchcraft coming against his body and individuals attacking us and trying to derail us and make us feel out of place and whatever, and trying to take dominion. They have no authority in our lives. So, Father, we cast it off in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you. We take any word curses that come to us and cast them to the ground. They have no authority over us. They will not rule us. They will not take us out in the name of Jesus. We command the angels around us and around the body for protection. And we also command angels to intercept any kind of evil actions being done by whatever spirits are trying to come against us, so that they fight them and cast them down before they even reach us. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord, for sending out your angels right now to wipe down all of these witchcraft curses spoken against your fellowship now, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Father, that it is being done even as we speak. and they are on the run. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Father, that it is done in the name that's above all names, in Jesus' name. That's right. That's exactly right, Benita. Amen. It is done, she said. And we walk in the kingdom of heaven where no evil is allowed there. This temple is cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Raise your hands if you want some healing, because God's doing it. Glory to God, in the name of Jesus. I declare the healing power of the Lord is upon this place. And I command the spirits of infirmity to go right now in Jesus' mighty name. I don't care what you call yourself. I call you gone in Jesus' name. The Lord God Almighty calls you gone in the name of Jesus. Everybody in here calls you gone in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that the symptoms are right behind them. They're gone too. And we praise you, Lord, that everything that anyone here that has raised their hands and have believed right now are healed by the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for it, that we're going to hear multiplied multiplicities, that's what we say, of healings the next time we get together in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God, I receive that healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I praise you for it, Father. Spirits of infirmity, get out of here in the name of Jesus. We command it by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers everyone in this place in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you so much. You're an awesome God. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, for these healings. Everybody's getting it. We praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh, my. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. My Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you have given faith to everybody here to receive their healing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, Rion. Sup, man? You're working. I know you can't talk, but it's good to see you.
I can say hello quick. Hello,
okay.
Everyone.
Amen. Bless you. Yes, Pat.
So a prayer request. Part of it is a prayer request. I'm going to my in-laws this week, and I'm just going to say that there is a stronghold of unforgiveness, and that will be broken this week in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but it will be broken. It will be shattered this week. That unforgiveness and the clarity of all of the ramifications that are connected to it. There will be a breaking this week in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for that making the way, tearing down the strongholds. We thank you, Lord, that your word is stronger in us than this worldly wisdom that permeates the world now. We thank you that it is declared. I declare it in the name of Jesus Christ. There will be a breaking. Forgiveness will come in like a flood in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Lord. Amen.
We thank you, Lord. It is done. Praise God. My. All right, is there any more prayers? What about nationally? Go ahead, Geneva.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. I just wanted to thank the Lord that Morgan's brother had his little baby. They had a little baby. Was it? I think it was last night. Anyways, she was rather pink when she came out, but she is a screaming little thing. But thank the Lord she's here. And I'd been praying with his wife a lot, on and off, you know, that she'd have a great delivery, you know, because doctors were saying this and that and heeming and hawing like they always do. But, you know, thank you, Jesus, that he knows better and she is here. So thank the Lord for that. Yes, girls like pink. Also, I was going to ask, I don't know how I did this, but I accidentally pinned Greg's face to my phone and I don't know how to like get it off. How do I sorry Greg, you've been like the main person here for a while. I don't know how to unpin it. Do y'all know how to do that?
I do.
I can tell you how.
Take a dart. No, take a dart.
And watching your every move.
is he full view on your deal there?
Yeah, I don't know how to.
Okay, upper right hand corner.
Left, right.
See where it says view.
Let's see here.
Click on that where it says view. V-I-E-W.
V-I-E-W. I'm doing it on my phone, so I don't know if it's.
Oh, I don't know about the phone.
Yeah, I might have to. I'll probably have to log off and log back on.
Geneva, okay. do you see anywhere on your screen where there's like three little dots?
Yes.
Okay, click on your little dots.
Okay.
Is there any way to remove pin or change your view?
Basically, gallery or speaker. Does it say that?
Now I turned y'all off. Oh, wait. Okay. All right. I'll just log off and log back on. It's being wonky. All right. Bye, Greg.
Although I actually got it. I just messed around on my phone. Double tap to unpin.
Double tap. Oh, there we go. I got it. Wait. Now I think you're it. Hold on. Okay, I got it. Yes, that worked. Thank you.
Okay. What did you say, David?
It's double tap to unpin.
Oh, okay. Double tap. You have just been unpinned, Greg.
I'm not sure what's better, being pinned or unpinned, but you know, it's been removed, so you know it's, that thorn in the flesh is gone.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Ann Retta, it's good to have you with us tonight, girl. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure.
On Friday, my ask for prayer for impatience. I think Edwin prayed for me. I just want to say thank you for a lot that working out in me. Thank you. Should we have to translate?
Praise the Lord. Joe, are you saying you have the patience of Job now?
Yes, he does.
By praise faith. The Lord. Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we do too.
Amen. Declare it, brother, because it's so.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all need patience. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Not me, man. I've got the patience of Job. Just don't tempt me. Don't test it. Don't test the water. All right. Anybody else got something they want to talk about? Pray about. Yeah, Isaac, go ahead, brother. Or Mariana, either one.
Oh, it's me. The Yeah, sorry, let me I'll say this real quick. Y'all can get to the meat and taters. So basically, I'm just going to ask for prayer real quick on two things. One, I got to go back to Scranton. This job's a real crucifier. I mean, of all the jobs I've ever done in my life, this is the toughest. And it's been miraculous, but man. So I'll just leave it at that. I want this to be the last one. Anyways, so would you know, so I ask for prayer for and the Lord just bless me and let it be done. It really comes down to a matter of when can I have the equipment. So you can imagine how easy it is to leave and not everything's buttoned up because you just don't get the time to work on it, right? So anyways, I'm on the second front is this one. I want to cast down some word curses. I had a gentleman come over the house today because he sees me and Mariana working all the time on this house. And we're trying to get it ready and fixed up. So, and I'm thinking we need to sell it. But long story short, I won't say much about it. But, you know, he come in trying to motivate us with fear, telling us, oh, what he wants to buy it from me, right? But he also bought the house next to me, too. And he owns the other house next to that house. But he's just trying to put fear on me. Oh, you should sell it. This could happen or that could happen. Or, you know, you guys might get kicked out. You know, all kinds of stuff. And I've seen this before. This actually ain't the first time I've seen this. I'm not a house flipper either. I've just happened to see this in my past. So I just let him say what he had to say. And didn't bother me. But I just want to cast it down with y'all's agreement because he doesn't even know any better, right? It's probably just natural. So I ain't mad at him for it. He just, you know, it's human nature. But, well, you know, we got that Christ nature. And y'all just, I'll just pray. Y'all agree. And I think that should be pretty good. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you for the opportunity, on both fronts. Thank you for the opportunity to go to Scranton, Lord. That was hard. Father, I took it pretty rough at first. But, Lord, I thank you for the dream you gave me about this company and about where I'm at. And I thank you, Lord, that I believe you're moving me further away from the world. And that is awesome. And thank you, Father, for letting this be done and everybody just be at peace. Both companies can be happy with the results. And Father, thank you for the other opportunity to be able to cast down these word curses, Father, just so, Lord, because it comes down really to this. We can share this in these end days and know that we have the authority to cast these things down to show the others. That's what it all comes down to. And that's what this is for. Not cast it down. It's gone and it has to go. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we don't receive those words of truth because the truth is with you. The truth is the word. And Father, we know the truth always has been and always will be, and that it will be in us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. You get all the glory, Father. You have all sovereignty. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for working this all out for Isaac and the company he worked for. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, and Rutter.
If I could ask a question, I was reading John chapter 4, and in verse 10, it says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, the part that he says, if you knew the gift of God, what does that mean?
Okay, hang on a minute. You said John chapter 4, verse 10?
Yes, please.
Okay. You don't sound like you're from Arkansas. I wonder where you're from.
I'm originally from Kenya, but I live in Australia.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, I'm Kenyan Australian.
You don't live down the street from Greg, do you?
Oh, Lord, no. I live in a different state, actually. So I'm
praise God.
Yeah,
praise God. Okay. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. All right. Okay, anybody got the answer for that? I'm not sure of the question, but go ahead. Anybody got the answer?
Yeah, what was your question about it again?
At the beginning of the sentence, when he says, if you are aware of God's gift, what gift was that?
Probably talking about himself. The gift of the Messiah, and also be the Holy Spirit after he leaves. So,
see what it says in the next part of that sentence. Read it for a day.
Oh, I got John 4:11 here. I got the ASV, so I'll try to make it more readable. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where then have you that living water?" So she's wanting.
You're talking about verse 10, I think she said.
Yeah, but verse 10 we read. We'll go back at verse 9. The Samaritan woman therefore said, well, what do we want? So let's start right at the beginning. All right. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was baptizing none of his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs pass through Samaria. So he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me something to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman, therefore, said to him, how is it you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And then Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Then the Samaritan woman said, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well is deep. Where then have you this living water? And she says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us his well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of spring of water up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not. That she's thinking naturally, you know, I thirst not. Neither do I have to come all this way to draw water. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and have him come here. And the woman said to him, I have no husband. Jesus said, oh, you answered well. I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you will have now is not your husband. This you have said truly. The woman said, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped in the mountains, and you say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And that was a big debate back there. Samaritans thought we should worship over here, and the Jews over there. They had their own religion going. The Samaritans, that's why the Jews had nothing to do with them. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes that neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You shall worship him, but you that worship him know him not. We worship that who we know, for salvation is from the Jews. that kind of settled that debate about where this all starts from, and not from Samaria. That's what Jesus is trying to tell her. But he says, if the hour comes now of that, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such does the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah comes. He is the Christ. When he has come, he shall declare unto us all things. And then Jesus said, I that speak to you am he. So if we go back to the living water, he's talking about himself. He's the living water, the word of God. He's going to bring eternal life. And she knew about the Messiah, and he just said, I am the Messiah. Anybody else want to go ahead and talk? That's fine.
Yeah, that verse that you quoted there, Andrea. Was it Andrea? Or in, well, whoever it was. Verse 10, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, here's where he calls it to himself, give me to drink. Well, he asked her that up at 7. So he answered his question, answered her question right there. If thou knowest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water going to God, like David said. That's who it is. It's Jesus. My. Praise God. Go ahead, Missy.
He's the gift and the water. Because that's the main thing that she was asking about is what's the gift? What does he mean by the gift? If thou knewest the gift, he's the gift of God to the world.
Amen.
Savior.
He still is. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yep, that's me.
Yes, sir.
Well, you're good. So the, about John 4, that's a really, really good verse. And there's so much in that. Maybe about a year ago, I talked a little bit about it. There's a lot of revelation. But I won't go into all that because I feel like it might get away from what Enreda was asking. But, you know, the gift also is this truth to the Gentiles, because that's what a Samaritan, you know, they were Gentiles. And, you know, you look at it, at Jesus at the well, you know, that's symbolic throughout even the Old Testament, where a lot of the men met their wives at the well, right? The bridegroom and the bride, right? And something else I want to point out, something this is real important that, well, maybe not to this question, but important when reading this at verse 18. Because he says, the woman answered and said to him, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast said, well, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband. This has I said truly. If you look at 2 Kings 17:29, you'll see where Samaria was conquered by 5 different kingdoms. And what's funny about that is that's 5 different, each one come with their own religion. And when countries get conquered, you know, they the beast puts in their religion and defiles it. And the thing is, this happened here. And I think it's pointing to that. Now, I'm not saying she didn't. I don't know if she had 5 or she did. Either she did or she didn't. I don't know. But I know, like I say, 2 Kings 17:29. And I think this goes back to point that Jesus is the bridegroom. And that we're being, and that this gift to the Gentiles is that we're coming back to be the bride. So worth looking up. It's pretty interesting stuff there. And matter of fact, even the Samaritans, at that point, they had their own version of that. I think it was I forget what they call their Old Testament scrolls back then. What, the Pentateuch or the Torah? They actually had their own version of it. I did a little research on that. So it's really interesting to see that, hey, well, you had 5 husbands. But guess what? I am the bridegroom. you know, and it's even the placement at him being at the well, you know, if you can do some research on that. I think Moses met his bride at the well. I don't know if Isaac did. Anyways, but yeah, that's just really cool to know.
Okay, I guess he's through. Thank you, Isaac. That was good. Go ahead, Pat.
So, Anretta, what were you thinking when you read "If thou knewest the gift of God"? What were you thinking about that? Must have bailed. Oh, there she is.
Sorry, I've got a temperamental microphone. That's why I'm keeping it off. But oh no, I was wondering what it was, the gift of God, because we do have many gifts, and when he referred to the living water, I thought that's what he was referring to as himself. And I thought, is there another gift? Could there be another revelation? And when Greg put in the Strong's breakdown, I thought, oh yeah, that makes sense, the Lamb of God, because they were waiting for the Messiah as well. But yeah, what Isaac just said was really profound, I think, with the bride and how it's him who gives that water that not just quenches but cleanses us, and because he's coming for a bride that is without blemish or, you know, or marks. And I thought, wow, that was really good. Yeah, thank you.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
A wonderful promise about the gift and in 1 Corinthians 6-8. Has to do with the water and the gifts, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise from God. It's a kind of an introduction there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:16.
All right. Anyone else? Anybody else got a question or comment? Looks like we already got a testimony on the prayers we prayed earlier with Andrea. Andrea, God, she's full of electricity now. Thank you, Jesus. All right, go ahead, David.
Yeah, Samaria is kind of an interesting place. I did a little look into that too. It talks about it in the scriptures, actually. Because when the year of Hosea, king of Assyria, took Samaria, and carried away to Assyria, and this is 2 Kings 17:6, and placed him in Hala and on a harbor, the river of Gazan and the river of Medes. What happened was Israel was in idolatry again. They were rebelling against God, and God had got angry with them, and he sent them off in exile to Babylon. And when they did that, Babylon resettled that area, which is Samaria, with Babylonians. And then these Babylonians, though, they brought over all their gods, all their way of, all their paganism with them. And they were doing things the way they normally did it. And God wasn't happy with that. So God sent in lions and attacked these Babylonians. And they were getting beat up pretty good from God and his judgment. And they asked this came up to the knowledge of the Babel, the people that brought them over there. I said, hey, wait, we've got some problems here with our people there. their God is angry at these people, and he's sending lions in and he's killing them. She said, what are we going to do? And they said, well, we'll bring a priest over that we carried into captivity in Babylon and bring him over there and teach these people the ways of their God. And so a priest came over into Samaria, and all these Babylonians, and started to instruct them in the way of the Torah, the way of living righteousness as God, and the ceremonies and all that stuff. And these people learned the ways of the Jews, but they also held on to some of their own ways when they did this. And so then you have what you have here is Samaria, and they became, you know, you basically take a people and you make it a denomination or a sect out of them. That's what you got. You've got another sectarian belief system going on with a whole nother set of people. And so they think they've got it right because they've been taught by so-and-so, and we're this, and we know what we're supposed to be doing, and we're more of this than you are now. And that's what was going on. You got that denominational spirit going on there now with even with these people that weren't Jews but became Jews by the, you know, understanding what was going on in the old covenant. And so that's where now the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't really care for, well, the Jews didn't care for the Samaritans at all, because they looked at them as being, you know, the not true Jews, but they still followed the Jewish ways. And so the Samaritans were kind of had their own ego about the whole thing. And they thought, well, we do things right. We're following God just like you, but we, rather than recognize you guys, we're going to recognize our own little denominational sect here, and we are who we are. So that's why this is all going on. And it's kind of interesting. Jesus came in and talked to them, talked to the Samaritan woman, brought him into the kingdom to show them the true path. Because even though they weren't Jews, they had an understanding who God was. They didn't know the full story. They just knew the Messiah was coming, though. So it's kind of interesting how that all kind of developed and what they're all about. Just thought I'd mention that.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. Michelle, did you have something you want to share?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt. Are you guys, this is a great discussion. I didn't want to interrupt it. So if nobody wanted to comment, I had a prayer request.
You go right ahead.
Okay. I look like I'm in a haunted mansion.
I have that power.
Okay. I would like a prayer of agreement against turn some lights on. I've got my little desk lamp. Just I had a bad dream last night, and it was scary, and I know it was meant to bring fear into my life. And I think it was definitely witchcraft thing. And really rejoicing and full of the joy of the Lord. And here comes these demonic dreams. And so I would just really appreciate a prayer of agreement. Do you want me to pray? Stop.
Yeah, you go ahead. We'll pick up after you get through.
You want me to pray?
Yes, I said, you go ahead. We'll pick up right after you get through.
Stop your video for a minute, though, because sometimes you talk, it starts to go in and out. So if you stop your video, we'll hear right perfect everything you're saying.
So, turn off the camera?
Yeah, just while you're praying.
Okay. All right. Yes, Father, I just thank you, God, that we have power over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And Lord, I just agree with my brothers and sisters in Christ that the enemy, whatever that curse is, wherever it was sent from, God, that it is cut off in the name of Jesus, and the enemy cannot come into my dreams, cannot torment, and that fear, all fear has to go in the name of Jesus. I refuse all fear in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for your protection, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would deal with the enemy. Lord, deal with the enemy. Lord, whatever the source is, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for the authority you've given us. And in the name of Jesus, we break the power of Satan from interfering with her dreams just from this point on. You cannot, will not, and won't affect her dreams anymore. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that it is done. Your angels are there to keep the demonic forces from interfering with Michelle's dreams in Jesus' name. And like she said, we command fear to go from her. You don't have a place there either in the name of Jesus, because you're an enemy. You go from her right now in Jesus' name. We take authority over you and cast you out in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for joy, peace, love, and rest in Michelle's heart right now. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Every tormenting demon, go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your cleansing power upon Michelle right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else will pray? Glory to God. It's done. It is done. It is done. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen. You're blessed, Michelle.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I think Judy's going to chime in.
Father, just thank you that you gave us authority as been declared in here, Lord. And we just ask your protection in our sleep, Lord, from all evil, from attacks of the enemy in our minds, in our bodies, and anything that the enemy is sending our way. We don't receive any of it. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your holy angels that watch over us and guard us in all of our ways, Lord. And we are protected when we go to bed at night and we awake again for you. You sustain us and you watch over us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that for the trials that you give us to go through, because that's a lot what this is just being tried in our faith, and that we're not going to be moved by the things that the enemy is doing to us, that, Lord, you encourage us and strengthen us and uphold us by your mighty right arm and teach us how to war in the spirit and overcome the enemy, overcome our flesh, overcome whatever the evil that's coming against us, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that there is unity in this room and there is great faith in this room and boldness, and we have answers to our prayers, Father, and we thank you for doing that. You've heard, and it's been answered, and we give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to add that one good thing was that I woke up and grabbed my Bible and opened directly and was asking for a scripture, and he led me to Psalm 71. And I can't remember, I don't have my Bible in front of me. The whole psalm was very, very comforting. But one verse in particular was like, you know, God will deliver me again, you know, from my enemy who's plotting against me. It was really just wonderful.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
For your reassuring and confirming knowledge, Lord. Thank you for it. Okay, Benita.
I don't know. I was just wondering if it was a dream that you share, and I don't know, people are always sharing dreams on the fellowship and there's interpretation. So I didn't know if that was that kind of a dream that needs to be interpreted.
You mean my dream, the one that I had?
Yeah. Yep. Yours.
Yeah. It's a good question, but absolutely not. Because I was laying in bed, because, you know, I'm a dreamer and the Lord gives me dreams, and I like trying to, you know, think through it. And he said,
Amen.
Okay, then.
You rebuke that right now. You just don't even go there. You don't want to understand it. It's But I've learned, it took me a while to learn that. I used to think through every dream and pray on it in terms of like trying to understand it. But I've learned some demonic dreams, it's to be overcome immediately and squashed and not considered. And I don't know. What do you guys think about that? That's what I did. That's what I felt. But thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Patrick or Pat.
always follow your heart. I mean, just don't go against that. If that's what the Lord's showing you, then that's what you go with, and he'll sort the details out later. You know, is what the kind of the way I treat it. But I know we're getting here to the end, and I would like to encourage everybody just to think about this. The last few weeks, the Lord took me to some testimonies that were different people. Actually, it was in my miscellaneous folder in my music folder. And for some reason, I clicked on it, and then one led to the next, and one led to the next. One of it was Tom Kruger, I think. He must have been on a PAL talk or something like that. But he gave his, no, uh-uh. Here? Zoom? Oh, maybe that was
No, it was on PAL talk.
Was it? The point being is he is a very good testimony. And then it went from there, and it went into a lady whose name is Linda Smith. And I think she must be from around the Tennessee or Florida area.
Yeah, she's a local.
A local. Okay. Very, very powerful. And it's interesting that I was listening to him, because the Lord took me down a whole different vein of thought there, but it's really based in Corinthians of God using it, that he chose not by worldly wisdom or knowledge or mental abilities or anything like that to save, but God in his wisdom chose faith, and he chose the message that would be touched and taught in the heart and received in the heart. It really hit me that, I mean, if you take those two people, those two different testimonies, they come from totally different perspectives, but God blew through the exterior the exterior soul level in each one of those individuals and spoke directly to their hearts. And now their message, the message of life that comes through them comes through that message from their heart. And so it hit me that there is a testimony, and that's why I encouraged everyone to share their testimony, even on the meeting here, in the meetings here. That I mean, there's nothing more exciting to me is to listen to how God took each, you know, an individual through seemingly insignificant events or thoughts or things in their lives and brought them through the paces and revealed him in one form or another. And every one of us in here has a different testimony that is significant and important. And
I hate to interrupt you.
Go ahead. But,
here's something we need to pray about right now.
Okay.
Is that the authorities down there in Uvalde will not tell the parents where their kids are, where their children are. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against this witchcraft, this evil that looks like it's trying to take place down there. In the name of Jesus, we block every attempt of the evil deep state to take these live children anywhere. In the name of Jesus, we block it by the power and authority of the blood of Jesus. They shall not, will not, and cannot have these children in Jesus' name. Amen. No stealing these children. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Anybody else?
I want clarity on that. The children that died or the children that are still in the school?
No, the children that are still alive.
Okay.
And maybe both, I don't know, but that's, I'm getting this from Angelica. Of course, there are children missing and people are calling the hospitals in the larger surrounding areas and not finding the children. They're telling them that they're at the hospital and they're not there. Sounds like one of them things, you know.
Yeah, it does.
No information is being given to the families. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Father, right now, that you open up the information line to tell these parents whether their children are dead or alive. It makes no difference. And Father, we thank you for doing that. This is evil in itself. And I don't know what they're thinking about trying to keep their parents away from these children other than they've got some nefarious deeds to do. And Father, we thank you so much for rescuing these children from the deep state in Jesus' name. We break the power of Satan off of them right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that your warrior angels are in there right now in Jesus' name, setting them free, just like he did Paul and Barnabas in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Missy.
We cast down the spirit of Babylon, which is confusion, in the name of Jesus. And we command that everything be come into organization and clarity in the name of Jesus. And these children be placed with their parents. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Amen. We come against the spirits of Satanism, child trafficking, stealing, all of this oppression that the enemy is doing here. We forbid it in the name of Jesus, and we command their evil attempts, whatever they are, to fail now in Jesus' Amen. Name. You will not continue. You will not get away with any of this in the name of Jesus. And Father, we loose the angels to make sure that this evil stops. They are not going to be getting away with any of this underhanded work of disappearing children because they've taken them for evil in Jesus' name. Father, we pray comfort and peace on the parents. We ask God that the truth all come out in the name of Jesus. And however you choose to do all that, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and your power and your holy name, Lord. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth, it is loose in heaven. And we strictly forbid this evil from taking place in Jesus' name.
Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead, Missy. Isaac and go ahead.
Lord, to comfort the children, Lord, wherever they are, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, and be with them and assure them, Lord, that you are protecting them. And thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think we all know this is just another... sounds like another Sandy Hook experience, maybe a little more sophisticated. But I'm sure you've already read that Biden expressed sympathy and immediately launched into another gun grab. So we just come against that, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you for protecting those children. These are your children, Lord. We thank you for protecting them. And comfort their hearts in the meantime, and sounds like a little hanky panky maybe with actually how many are dead, or even if they are, I just pray that you, somewhere pronounced dead, we hear that. But anyway, Lord, I just pray you shed your light on this whole situation. Let your light shine down and let this whole thing be exposed. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yep. Lord, thank you, Father, for being with those children. Lord, we know you love the children, Father. And Lord, Father, we believe you give them children wisdom right now. Better yet, Father, they don't even remember anything that they could have seen today. Father, I don't know if there's a type of debriefing going on with those children. That's why they're not released to the parents and they're trying to keep things quiet, but I rebuke it. We come against even one more child being harmed in Jesus' name. Cannot happen, amen. Will not happen. It is done. Amen. Thank you, Father. You love the children. Oh, thank Lord. You, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, I just ask that while I close out tonight, that people be praying in the spirit. And I ask that you pray through us for these children and their parents in the spirit. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing down there with those children right now. And we thank you
praise
for it,
Lord.
Father.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory. Praise you, hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we loose the angels in your holy name to deliver these children safely back to their homes.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your great deliverance, Father. There's nothing impossible to those who believe. And we thank you, Lord, for faith to move mountains. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the good report that's going to come out of this, Father. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
All right. Good night, y'all. Bless you. Keep on praying for those children and their parents. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Love y'all.
Bye. Recording.